This evening we continue with our series, Lessons from Psalm. And this evening I like to talk about Psalm 65. Psalm 65 is about prayer. It's about approaching God. And I invite you just to read. Let's read together verse 1 before we pray, before we spend this half an hour or so around God's word. So we read together verse 1. I have in the NIV version, and then we are going to read verse 1 from the King James version. Shall we read together? Praise. Now the King James version says, praise waiteth for thee, O God in Zion, and unto thee shall be about to be performed. Let us pray before we spend this time around the Word of God. Heavenly Father, we pray that as we read your Word, as we spend this time in your house, Father, we will be able to receive what you have prepared for us. We want to approach you. We want to hear your voice. We want to do your will in our lives. Father, we place into your hands our time together because we come in the name of Jesus. Amen. Psalm 65 is, we find instructions from King David how to approach God, how to pray, how is it that we are to do in order to pray. So here is a lesson in prayer. It's about prayer, how we are supposed to approach him. And it's a message in psalm language. It's a song, and as we read the song, there is a lesson about prayer. And now the first thing as we read is that we should approach God with a sense of expectation. Shall we say together? We should approach God with a sense of expectation. You know, the Hebrew word used here is difficult to translate. Sometimes it's difficult to translate from one language to another. I find it so amazing. Sometimes, for example, you have a song in English and then it touches you, and suddenly you want to translate it into Spanish or Italian. You cannot do it sometimes, you know, to get the same feeling. And or the other way around. Sometimes I have some songs that I have written in Spanish and I want to have the same feeling in English. It's impossible. Sometimes it's hard. So the words here in Hebrew, sometimes if we don't really go there, we can miss the translation. The psalmist starts in verse 1, praise await you, O our God in Zion. And the Hebrew says, silent praise. Or praise is silent. That's just the translation. The context is that perhaps the people of Israel, they were suffering calamity. We don't know, famine, maybe war. And the whole people going to the temple, they gathered together seeking for... He said, God, we want your help. But you know, the idea here is that they approach God expecting something to happen, but there is silence. Hence the importance when we start a service, silence. That moment of silence when we approach God, we come to church and we are in silence. We have problems and we just prepare ourselves to give our undivided attention to God. Do you find that very helpful? When we come with problems, or maybe we are happy and we just sit in silence. That is what the psalmist said. Praise awaits you. Praise is silent. That's so. And they said, whether people are seeking God as the whole people of Israel, or maybe an individual, or maybe we come in worship, it's important to come before God expecting something to happen in silence. This is how our translator had put it. Praise awaits you, our God in Zion. It's a moment of expectation. Something is going to happen. I come to, you know, sometimes I get a problem when you are preparing programs for the church. And some people said, you better don't put who is leading worship. You better don't put who is preaching. Because people, maybe they come and they don't want to, you know, they avoid that Sunday. I find it very distressing. Because sometimes you don't know what God is going to do. Expectation. And then you go to a place. And then you said, oh, but that person is not a qualified minister. Oh, that person speaks horrible. If that person is under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, he or she will have something to say. Do you believe that? That's what the psalmist, you should come with expectation. So the psalmist says, you want to approach God, you need to be excited. Something is going to happen. And then verse 2, let's read verse 2 together. Prayer is a human instinct. It's no question about it. You know, in times of great need, people pray. Even if people, they don't want to pray. Have you read biographies of people that said, God doesn't exist. God is, that is rubbish. I don't believe that. And when they are about to die, they do what? Pray. Pray is there. Some people said, well, oh, I don't go to church. But if they need something, they say, can you pray? Can you pray for me? Prayer is a natural instinct. Believers and unbelievers, they do it. It's a mysterious need. The scripture says here, everyone will come to what? To pray. All people will come to pray. But sadly, some people come when they need something. I need a job. You pray. I am in a hospital. You pray. Somebody died. You're about to die. We pray. Important people, sometimes maybe we don't realize they pray. I was very touched years ago when I was working in an important person. Maybe, you know, he was a commander. And we weren't going through a very tough time. By accident, I came across and he was shaking. And he said, Chief, we need to pray. Yes, we do. But even, he said, don't tell everyone. People, we need to pray. So the psalmist says, everyone will come to pray, expecting something to happen. This commander wanted something to happen. Or maybe you have met people who said, sometimes we don't pray. But the psalmist says something very important. Okay, we pray before we approach God, we expect something, but we need to be aware of something. We need to be aware that there are barriers. Shall we say it? We need to be aware. Okay, we want to pray, but we need to be aware that there are barriers, there are obstacles there. There is a warning here. And that's what the psalmist says in verse 3. Iniquities prevail against me. I'm reading from the King James Version. It says, iniquities prevail against me. Perversities block the answers to prayer. We need to know this. Our sins must be forgiven because our iniquities will be in our way. This morning I was saying, if we approach to God in prayer and we know we are sinning, our prayers will not reach the ceiling. We need to be aware that prayer is not just, oh, we are going to pray and God is loving. No, the psalmist says that iniquities block the road. It cannot be answered by a holy God. We have no access. We have no audience with him. We are under judgment. And I'm going to show you why. You know, we had a couple of examples. In the Bible, we have the Pharisee prayer. Have you remember the Pharisee prayer? The Pharisee, this man is a religious man and he's praying. And then we find in the gospel his prayer. In Luke chapter 18, verses 11 and 12, this is a man who goes to the synagogue. He knows the law maybe better than us. And then he goes and he prays. He said, God, I thank you that I am not like other people. Robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. And the tax collector just go like that. And then I fast twice a week and I give a tenth of all I get. See, he's so perfect. And he's praying. The Bible says that prayer, what? Was not heard. He's praying. He's expecting something, okay? But he's not aware of the barrier. What is the barrier? You know, but this prayer was not heard. Why? Because he did not recognize his sin. What is his sin? He's proud. Self-righteousness. I am okay. I go to church. I give my offerings, my tithes. I visit elderly people. I help this person. I do charity. I expect the answers to my prayers. Warning. No answers. Why the church doesn't grow? Why my family? Why is it that this is happening? There is sin in our lives. Our iniquities block the way, block the answer. And on the contrary, we have Paul. Everyone knows Paul. We heard about Paul. Like Kelly reminded us that he wrote his almost the whole New Testament. It's so many books. And but this is Paul, and he was a religious leader. You know, he was so into religion, and he had an encounter with Jesus. And guess what? He's unwell. He's blind. And then the Lord come to Ananias and say, go to see Paul. He said, wait a minute. I'm not going to see this guy. Are you crazy, Lord? He's going to kill me. Then I said, go. And look to these verses in Acts chapter 9, verse 11. So the Lord told him, go to the house of Judas on Strife Street and ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul, for he is what? Praying. Wait a minute. He prayed before, but now it's different because he has been forgiven. Because now he has acknowledged his sin. So now God heard his prayer and said, go, because I'm going to use this guy and he's going to take the gospel to us, the Gentiles. Prayer. We are praying, approaching God, expecting something, but we need to be aware of the barriers. Paul was different. He acknowledged his sin. He's a new man. But iniquities prevails against me when I'm not aware of my sin. Now, let's read very quickly Psalm 66, verse 18. I read it this morning. I wasn't planned, but I wanted to read it before we pray this morning. If I regard it, shall we read together this verse? Psalm 16, verse 18 from the King James Version. If I keep it, so the NIV says, if I have cherished sin in my heart, the Lord will not listen. He will not listen to our prayers. You know, if I love my sin, if I like what I do, I know it's wrong. You know what? I was born like this. God was wrong. God will not listen to those prayers. Wait a minute. That's okay. We are in the 21st century. We are living in the UK society. We are living in the Western world. That's okay. God will not listen to those prayers. That is what I say here. I cherish. And I say, 1 minute. Oh, you know, that's okay. If I am dishonest with something, oh, I have lost with this. That's okay. God will not listen to those prayers. If I have cherished sin in my heart, says David, the Lord will not have listened. And it takes me to the next point I have this evening. We need to have faith. We don't have to pray occasionally. You know, maybe this commander I met years ago, he was desperate. He prayed. And I asked him, do you pray in time like this? That's not faith. Faith is when we persevere when we, you know, we cannot pray unless we are so grateful to Him. We just come to only to ask. We need to praise His name. We need to be thankful for His goodness. How many people pray without a vow? You know, that's what mentioned in verse 1. You know, a legitimate vow is the one we keep. Iniquities prevail against me. The barrier can be abolished by the forgiving God. And now in verse 3 says, let's read together verse 3. When it's interesting that this verse in the King James Version says, iniquities prevails against me, as for our transgressions, thou shalt purge them away. The word used here is atonement. So that what happened is, my iniquities are there. Thank you for the reminder that yes, we are sinners. So the iniquities are there, but they can be covered. The word here is atonement. And we know that they were covered one day in the greatest days of history on that cross. So I want to approach God. If I don't have a relationship with God, I cannot approach God. God cannot just forgive sins. No, God cannot forgive sins like that. He cannot overlook sins. So God covered your sins. It requires atonement. And then this is why Jesus came. God himself has to do it. In order for us to be in his presence, he has to do it. So our sins, our barriers are there. But when we come to Jesus, when we surrender our life to Jesus, he covers. So he says, iniquities prevail against me. We fight every day. How many of you struggle with sin every day? I do. But you forgave our transgression, says the psalmist. Thou shalt purge them away. When we surrender our lives to Jesus, something has to happen. Those beautiful hymns that said, sin cannot have a grip on me. Sin is destroyed. You know why? Because that's what the psalmist says. We need faith. This morning, I was supposed to do something different about touching. But the touching is spiritual. And that comes when we really surrender our lives to him. And then it's a picture of blessings. Verse 4 says, blessed are those you chose to bring near to live in your court. What a wonderful picture. When we come and say, God, I cannot do it. I can't stop lying. My life is full of lies. I cannot do it. I have prejudice in my life. I have unforgiveness. I cannot forgive people. And you come to him. He will cover, and now the psalmist says, blessed are those you choose to bring near to live in your court. This is the king is saying, I want that person to come to the palace. That's the picture. Wait a minute. I am not a lord. I am not a lady. But the king says, come. That's the picture. I want this one. I want that one. Why? Because we approach him. And we surrender our lives. And then another blessing said, we are filled with the good things of your house, of your holy temple. Can you imagine? The moment we approach him and we surrender our lives to him, this is how God blesses when we come to him with an open and honest heart. But iniquities prevail against me. But when we surrender our lives, he covers us. In a picture of abundance. Verse 5 says, you answer us with awesome and righteous deed. God, our Savior, the hope of all the ends of the earth and of the farthest seas. It says, God has to be your Savior. God has to be my Savior. It doesn't work like a mystical thing. God has to be your Savior. My Savior. And the psalmist goes into poetry. And the rest of the psalms is a poetry that invites us to see higher. This is how our life should be. Verse 6. Let's read together verse 6. Who form we have problems. We cannot be well. But we have what? Strength. We just carry on. God help us to carry on. That's the picture. Having armed yourselves with strength. How everything started? With expectation. Then I am aware of my barriers, my obstacles. And I have to consider my sins. And then by faith, I surrender my life. And he will invite me to be in his presence. And he armed myself with strength. Verse 8 says, the whole earth is filled with all of your wonders. Where morning dawns, where evening fades, you call for songs of joy. Even when you wake up with no energy, you know, there are days I don't want to wake up. I want to stay in bed. I don't want to see anyone. I don't want to preach. Do you feel something like that? The psalmist says, even when you feel like that, joy is available for us. It's not about prosperity. Because prosperity, oh, you know, you need to do this, you need to do that, you need to bring the money to the church and all that. You will be, that's a lie. Because perhaps God wants us to be poor and yet to be a blessing to other people. Do you believe that? Or maybe he wants you to be a millionaire and be a blessing. He wants you to be an intellectual, somebody an academic, but being a blessing to others. That is the picture. The whole earth is filled with all your wonders. Where morning dawns, where evening fades, you call forth songs of joy. He will make us useful to him. The most influential people on earth has been prayer people. They pray. Remember, the barrier have to be removed. What a wonderful promise. This evening, we're going to have a time of prayer. This morning, many people put their prayers there. Maybe you put a prayer there. Do you believe that God can do that? Yes, God can touch us. So we're going to spend a time in prayer. And then I invite you to approach God, expecting something to happen. The lesson here is that we need to be aware of the barriers. Is there a sin in your life? You know that God needs to touch that. Have to address that. And there, remember the wonderful promises that the king wants to invite you to be in his palace, in his presence. He wants to bless us. But what is it that we are going to do? Are we willing to allow him to cover our transgressions? Or we want to keep it? Let's spend a moment in prayer. And I invite you to, maybe you want to pray aloud, you want to pray in silence, just to bring up to the Lord, perhaps people, or maybe ourselves. But let's approach God this evening, knowing that he wants to cover our sins, he wants to bless us. But what is it that we are going to do? Let us pray. Amen. But Father, help us to recognize that there are barriers, there are obstacles there in all our sins. Help us not to be like the Pharisee, but perhaps like Paul, to be humble before your presence so our sins can be covered by your mercy. So help us to approach you in faith and help us to know that you will answer our prayers because you want to bless us. You want to care for us. So, Father, into your hands we place the petitions of our hearts. We pray for the people this morning that place those petitions on that cross as a symbol that they want a touch from you. Father, we pray in the name of Jesus that you may grant their request. And Father, we pray that you may grant the request that we made in silence in your house this evening, knowing that you hear our prayers because we have come. In the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.